Sounds to me like you're daunted. Say it again like you're undaunted.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and welcome to the Often Daunted Podcast. I am your host, Burke White, as I am every episode here on my show. I appreciate you for going out of your way to find this show, because how else would you? This is the bottom of the barrel in Hoosier content, and I appreciate you for going out there, searching for it, and finding your way here. If you haven't, please feel free to follow the show across all socials at Often Daunted. That's Twitter or X, Blue Sky, Instagram, whatever the case may be. I am there at Often Daunted. This show is brought to you in tandem with the College Huddle Network, an awesome collection of just shows based on both basketball and football, all the biggest programs out there. Awesome to be able to work with just that network of podcasts right now. And yes, we'll get right into it as we do. We'll get into the recaps at the top of the episode. Then it'll be on to the Indiana news, some of the national news. Then it's on to Burke's Big Five. This week, I'm doing Burke's Big Five Norman Dale quotes. Following that, it is on to the preview of both upcoming West Coast matchups in Washington and Oregon. Then it'll be out of here with a Hoosier history hit. That is the formula for the show. If you are a returning listener, I cannot appreciate you enough for finding your way back here. Hitting that subscribe if that's what brought you back, whatever the case may be. Thank you so much for going out of your way to find this. If you are new to the show, I'm Burke White. I am a girl dad of three. I just love the Hoosiers, and this is my hobby. This show is my hobby. We are now on episode 116. This is just my passion project, and oftentimes it is so much harder to record than others. I am happy to be recording this one. It is fun when you get to record Indiana beating the Purdue Boilermakers. So, I mean, with that, let's just get right into that one. Let's go, Purdue. The second half of this game, was way too proud of a moment for me. I don't think I should take this much pride in a game I'm not directly playing in, but damn, I was proud of the way the Hoosiers played this game. It brought a tear to my eye seeing the hall that alive again. Assembly Hall was rocking. It was inspiring to see, and I'm just so thrilled that we had it back. Like, holy hell. The second half Hoosiers. 28-3 run, just like puts it away. I shouldn't say put it away. Brought it back only to put it away in our favor. Absolutely incredible game. What we were able to do, like Braden Smith, all credit to him for what he did on his way to Bloomington. But boy, the Indiana Hoosier defense stepped up in a way we hadn't seen. I mean, they were doubling Braden Smith, making him be forced to make the play. And unfortunately for him, he just didn't have enough. 2 for 8 in this game, 5 assists, 6 turnovers. Braden Smith, Indiana's defense was holding Braden Smith to more turnovers than he had assists. Absolutely stellar effort all around. Credit to Mike Woodson for being able to get that out of these guys. When you go 2 for 12 in the first half, it's hard to win basketball games. It truly is. But when you open the second half with a 28-3 run, you may just have a chance. Like, that is the formula for being able to get back into games. Just stop teams 2-3 while you go on your way to 28. Incredible. It may have been a friendly whistle. I can sit back and look at that, but I'll apologize for nothing, okay? Any Indiana Hoosier fan watching the Purdue game, that Purdue-Indiana matchup, 73-58, Indiana wins. I just want to drop that score every chance I get, 73-58. I'll apologize for nothing. Friendly whistles don't make 28-3 runs happen. They don't. Like, that would be, I mean, just a zealous whistle. And Purdue owes the rest of the conference a good 3 years of friendly whistles, if you really think about it. Okay, so I will apologize for absolutely nothing on behalf of the Indiana program. I feel like I have the power to do that with this absolute just hobby I picked up. And absolutely ridiculous that Purdue would whine about whistles so much after just 3 years of the, again, I cannot stress, the friendliest whistles. It's hard to say friendly. Just the most undefinable whistles, in that Zach Edey had like almost broken the game of basketball with how the Big Ten officials were working to officiate him. Indiana with 23 points off of turnovers, Purdue with 12. You saw that in spades to kick off that second half. Braden Smith was just, he was in the torture chamber. He was in the spin cycle. He didn't know what to do with the ball. Indiana, again, being able to press him to 6 turnovers as opposed to his 5 assists. When you have him turning over the ball more than he is converting assists to his teammates, that is a formula for victory over the Boilermakers as they are built right now. I'm going to talk about the Anthony Leal incident. You know what? I'd love to see it get chippy. When the score's 2-2, Caleb first, Anthony Leal, they said it on the Mark Titus podcast, Mr. Indiana Basketball and Mr. Indiana Basketball Crime is enough to, you know, bring a tear to your eye. But, it looked pretty intentional, Anthony. It did. But I will say, in your defense, Caleb first initiated a leg wrap. He was initiating a leg wrap. He may not have all the way wrapped it, but he was initiating it, and you got out of there. You were kicking free in my book, and I will stand as witness to that. Second half defense was just something Indiana fans haven't seen all season, but we've been asking for it for 3 years, for 3.5, I guess. Leal, Galloway, and Rice, like, working together to defend in the backcourt better than we've seen all season. It was easier because they were highlighting Braden so much, because Braden was going to put it on himself to try to get the team back into that game. And luckily for them, he tried and failed. The Hoosiers were able to succeed in limiting what he was able to do, throwing all the pressure, directing it all his way. Despite combining for 39 points, Mackenzie Mbako and Umar Balo both sat well into this one. Whatever the case, you see how Balo responds to a slap in the wrist, and then you saw how Mbako did. Initially, I mean, Mbako in that game, 0 for 3 from the floor, 0 for 2 from 3, 0 points, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, all in 9 minutes. If he was sick, whatever the case may be, unfortunate to see him have that stat line in such a big game. But the way Balo was able to respond to the sitting initially, whatever sparked them being out for the start of this one, he responded with all we needed and then some. Umar Balo in that game, 5 for 7 from the floor, 12 points. Now, it wasn't like it was 12 points, but it was devastating 12 points. It was easy interior buckets. And just really flexed the muscle there. While it was Balo showing that with 12, going 5 for 7, Malik Renew was the one getting all the benefits from Purdue's just honestly horrendous interior defense. TKR is a turnstile, and Jacobson would have been the guy, but no. Malik Renew absolutely having a feast down low, 7 for 7 from the floor for 15 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Great game from our guy Malik. Purdue, I was watching this game. You saw Purdue didn't have a problem hitting their threes, but when Indiana turned it on in the second half, they couldn't take the threes. We were eliminating their ability to take them. Purdue in this game shot 7 for 6, but I mean, 7 for 16, but I have a feeling they would have taken 32 if they could have. And with the just the efficiency that they were shooting the ball in this game, I mean, 42%, 40-something percent, impressive. But I just throughout this game, I was just like, throughout the run in particular, I say the game, the run in particular, I thought, thank God Mason Gillis isn't on this team. Thank God he has left West Lafayette, because I think maybe he could have had a few daggers to just stop a run. He seems like the kind of player that, like, that would have been his job in that game. Get in there, hit a three, end this emotional avalanche that the Hoosiers are currently running on. Luckily, he decided to ditch West Lafayette. Smart man. Well done, Mason Gillis, and thank you for not being in this game. After going 6-for-11 from deep in the first, IU holds Purdue to 1-for-5 in the second. And yeah, that like I said, totaling in that 7-for-16. 15 points for Trey Galloway, 9 assists. He looked awesome in the pick and roll. He was a facilitator. He was a king, lording over his subjects on the offensive end. I might be a little hyperbolic, but this is the Often Daunted podcast. If you want the actual X's and O's, the ticky-tacky, not like real strict to the game stuff, I mean, you've already watched it. You've seen it. If you found this, you've already listened to three other Indiana podcasts. Indiana just sharing the ball well, assists everywhere, 18 assists on 28 made baskets. After playing 8 in the first half, Woodson goes with 6 players in the second. He is whittling down this rotation, and it is working. It is yielding a lot more four-guard lineups, and I feel like that is when Indiana is really rolling. They were running four-guard lineups, and boy, was it working in the second half. You saw it coming in. You saw it continue into Penn State, and I appreciated how effectively it worked for Indiana here because we saw it more in Penn State. Him trying to force Langdon Hatton out there, I mean, all credit to Langdon, but we can't do two bigs unless it's Malik and Mbalo. With Malik out of that Penn State game, the success of the four-guard lineups in this Purdue game may have, I mean, just made the whole team more comfortable, the staff, players, everyone more comfortable with running it in the Penn State game when we needed to. Yeah, credit to Mike Woodson for just sticking with the rotations that were working. He's on his way out. Any minutes promised at the top, like, they're done for. They're done for. And you saw it in this game. Mackenzie Mbako, 9 minutes. If he's got to sit a game that he's cold in, he's got to sit. We got to have the hot hands on the floor. We can't afford him taking shots that aren't going in at this critical moment of the season. And anyone who just like loves listening to another's sorrow, if they are a Purdue fan, you got to listen to Boiler in the Stands recap of this last one. It's an actual, like, I just wanted to hear what that side of the aisle was saying about this game. It's a pleasure. It's an absolute pleasure. You have to hear them just bitch about the officiating for the entirety of a recap, including a mention of one could argue Trey Galloway initiated the contact with TKR. Yes, Trey Galloway initiated the contact with TKR. He said, hey, let me see that elbow. Get out of here. Get out of here with his face. You're not getting ED whistles, man. It doesn't mean the officials are out to get you. Get over. Recap this game on the Big Ten Huddle. So if you did want to see a more up-to-date, fresh off the game recap, go check out the Big Ten Huddle. I do like some live spots there, a few, like a night or two a week, chipping in, helping JR with that. I like to be the Indiana representative there. So go give us a follow there. That is at Big Ten Huddle. All right, on to the Penn State game. All right, now we're recapping Indiana's 83-78 win over Penn State at home, where again the hall was alive. God, it's so awesome to see that environment, like that ruckus. And I just am so grateful that just the energy is back in that building. Before this game, Malik, it came out that he was in the hospital sick before it the night before. He was out there for warmups only for it to come back and give him more issues. I hope that Malik's feeling all right. We are going to need him for the Washington game, as I'm really looking for our big guys to dominate that one for us. But yeah, Indiana and Penn State had a three-point shootout, and nobody saw it coming. Yes, I said that. Okay, Indiana and Penn State got into an offensive shootout, and Indiana's incredible three-point shooting yields the Hoosier victory. What a wild statement. What a wild thought. What a wild just story for this game. Like, Indiana shooting 10 for 15 from deep. 10 for 15 from deep. And credit to Indiana. That's shooting 66%. Any team shooting 66% is liable to go off the rails because they're taking more shots than they're, like, get presented. They're hunting their shot if you see 66% after 15 shots taken. The Hoosiers were able to cap it and play within their game. Play within their game to get the five-point win. Yeah, I mean, Hoosiers shoot 66%. If they take that, that's on 10 of 15. It, realistically, based on the season averages, I mean, the Hoosiers were shooting great in this game. But realistically, based on season averages, I mean, if they shoot 15 more, the Hoosiers end the game maybe 14 for 30, 10, like 13 for 30. So it's just incredible what the Hoosiers were able to do from beyond the arc. And, I mean, also credit to Penn State for hitting it at a 38.9 rate. Ace Baldwin was lighting it up initially, and I thought that that was – I mean, of course, one guy's just going to have a killer game and end all of our hopes in Assembly Hall. Thank God that wasn't the case. Initially out of the gate, yeah, you saw McKenzie's slow start in the last game, 0 points. Bleed into this one a bit as he went four straight missed free throws initially. Really disconcerting for just the outlook of the game from there. But he was able to turn it around, go for 6 for 11 from the floor, end his night with 13 points. Really got going, and glad to see that he was able to hit that 1-3 out of the three he had taken. Trey in this game. Oh, my God. Trey, able to show ice in his veins. Trey, this is the Trey we've been longing for. Trey showing ice in his veins after getting swatted to just swatted by Nick Kern. No other way to say swatted. He was able to hit the three right after. Hit the three to take the game to the 70-69 score. And then he hits the next one to take the 73-69 lead. Back-to-back triples for Trey. Those two threes, like, were the decisive moment of this game in my mind. His ability to knock those down, the second one was awesome. He took that defender, took the pump, his sidestep, like, there was some swagger in that sidestep. It was stellar work from Trey. Hitting those had to be, I mean, the peak of the game for me, personally. Balo's play of the game in this one had to be that decisive offensive rebound at the one-minute mark. 1 minute left in the game. We need something. A bucket would just seal it. Would really tilt this in our favor. He's able to pull down the rebound of the utmost importance. We absolutely needed this. I think we stretched out that whole 30-second possession, got a shot up, was able to use the whole clock and get the ball back. That right there nailed it for me. I was like, okay, the game is in our hands. It's ours to lose after that. Credit to Balo for that, ending his night with a crazy 20 points, 8 for 14 from the floor, and 12 rebounds. That is a massive double-double for our massive center. Great work, Umar. Ace Baldwin, I just wanted to shine a little more light on him before getting out of here. Ace Baldwin, he almost went down as a genuine Bloomington bad guy. He almost did. He ended his night with 22 points after what it seemed like he could have went for 35, how this game started with him. He was lights out initially. But Indiana able to put the clamps on him down the line, able to slow him down just a bit. He was still just turning the corner on every guard that was on him when he was hooking around the top. But Glad to see that he isn't going down in history as a certified Hoosier killer. Also, people can be concerned about the free throws. I'm going to choose to take comfort in it. While our 3-point shooting saved us, realistically, if we hit free throws, this game is far more embarrassing for the Nittany Lions than the 5-point loss they got here. So I'm going to choose to take that as a plus. That's the kind of ignorantly optimistic perspective you get here on the Often Daunted podcast. Thank you again for tuning in. All right, my player for the game there. Let's go ahead and give it to Trey. Umar Bhalla with the 12 rebounds, awesome. But Trey, 16 points, 9 assists, picking up right from the last game. 3 rebounds, 4 for 5 from deep, 80% from deep on 5 shots taken. Insane, Trey. Awesome work. Play of the game for you. On to the Indiana news. At the top, congratulations to Malik Reneau for scoring his 1,000th career point as an Indiana Hoosier. That came as part of his total in Saturday's win over Purdue. Awesome to see Malik Reneau, I mean, just join some of the greats to wear the candy stripes. Painter, I'm sure if you found this show, you saw Painter's post-game press conference where he was discussing Indiana fans and their need for patience with their coaching. And not just coaching, they're coaching in the players. And I say, yes, he's speaking the truth, he is. But I mean, come on, time and place for everything, dude. Like, even if he wasn't, the time and the place of those words coming after Indiana just whoops your ass in the second half, straight up, seemed like a lot of post-game projecting. Purdue being on that 4-game slide after we, I mean, really, really cemented it and really like drove the plane down, and they were sliding with three, and we just get out of here, playing all the way down. And then he decides that's when he's gonna tell Indiana fans how they need to react to the play style, the game, whatever. It's a lot of post-game projecting, if you get me. I feel like he is definitely projecting on us a bit there. Everyone's got an opinion on who the next Indiana head coach needs to be. Patino says Beard needs the job. Fanta says that TJ Osselberger is the guy he thinks should have the job. I just wanted to bring that up just to say, hey, they have to talk about us. And it feels good. It feels good. It does. Even down bad for a while, like Indiana is unavoidable. We will rise. We will rise stronger than ever. And guess what? You can't help but cover it. You have to cover it. We're just that big. We're that major of a deal. You have to cover it. Following the Purdue win, CBS Sports Bracketology had the Hoosiers reintroduced into their bracket as a first four team. With the Penn State win, you have to think that that cemented us just a bit further. I'm starting to really build up some hope here. Like the Indiana teams we have been seeing have gotten me hopeful for what kind of fun we could have. I won't say what kind of run. I just want fun in March. And getting into the dance is going to be fun. Having a game there, having a nice little run in the Big Ten tournament. There is tons of basketball left to play, and Indiana is playing their best basketball yet. Congrats to the women's team. Looks like they have all but cemented their sixth consecutive tournament appearance. Purdue let a good alum go. They truly did. Terry Morin, just for her to go unappreciated over there to where we have to see her as the savior of this program, the one to give the reins to. She's built a legacy in Bloomington, and we're never giving her back. So credit to Terry and everything she's built here. Jim Root of the Three Man Weave podcast wrote on the bubble situation for the Athletic, sorry, when discussing Indiana. He said, profile strengths. zero losses outside of Q1. Very competitive resume metrics. Profile weaknesses. Need more overall wins. Only a 4-11 record in Q1 games. Looking ahead, Mike Woodson refuses to go gentle into that good night. His Hoosiers raged against the dying light, pulling off a massive and convincing home win over reeling rival Purdue and backing it up with a necessary win against Penn State. That 2-0 sequence launched them into many NCAA tournament fields, while our own Joe Rex Rode had them as his first team out. This week's bracket watch was published prior to the Penn State win. Had him as the first team out before the Penn State win. That's good. That's promising for us. Consistency has escaped Indiana this year, but the Hoosiers will need to find a way to split their upcoming Pacific Northwest road trip to remain in the thick of the at-large conversation. Awesome to see. Just trying to present you guys with an idea of where we're at in the eyes of the nation out there. And lastly, for Indiana news, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Leaders and Legends podcast. They had Don Fisher on this week. I listened to it a lot, honestly, for Hoosier history, its ideas. Go give it a listen. He's just talking about his career, everything he loves. It's Don Fish on Indiana. Like, Leaders and Legends podcast, go give him a listen. Also, check out Mike Kadick on the last episode of Wake Up Mincy with the Barstool Network. Whatever you think about Mincy, it's Mike Kadick. Go check it out. All right, on to the national news. For those of you thinking that chanting "fire our own coach" was a bad idea, Arizona just showed their asses as much as probably a fan base possibly could when they started earlier this week a F the Mormons chant. Now, it wasn't F. They weren't chanting F. They were chanting it. Yeah, crazy. Crazy. I know mob mentality can really get the best of some people sometimes, but for it to be as loud and as clear as it was, that was a startling revelation about the people of Arizona for me. Reported just Tuesday. Hubert Davis and North Carolina have agreed to a contract extension prior to the 24-25 season. Woo! The contract extension lasts until 2030. All right. Now, they just got this news Tuesday. This would have been like receiving, I like to think of this, a North Carolina fan reading this release as if we had all those frustrations with what's going on. No announcement about Mike Woodson was announced, but then we see he's extended through 2030. That's what just happened to the North Carolina Tar Heel fan base. They just experienced that. Signed through 2030. What an agent that guy has. Other news, Indiana beat Purdue so bad in the second half that they had to have a players-only meeting. It was obviously the only course of action that they could take to try to get this thing back on track, back on the rails, if you will. Reported by Sam King with the Journal and Courier, TKR called for the meeting. Painter has met with players individually since. They are on a four-game losing streak and trying to bounce back at home with their next game against the Bruins. Yeah, best of luck to you, dorks. Weekly honors goes to Oregon's Nate Biddle. Nate Biddle was named Big Ten's Player of the Week. Michigan State's Jace Richardson won himself Freshman of the Week honors. Biddle was able to get 19.7 points, 8.7 rebounds, and 3.7 blocks in Oregon's 3-0 week, while Jace Richardson averaged 16.5 points, 3.5 rebounds, 2.5 steals, and 1.5 assists, while shooting 55% from the floor and 90% from the free throw line. If the season were to end today, or as of this recording, I just wanted to present what the Big Ten tournament looks like right now. Game one would be number 12 Nebraska versus number 13 Northwestern. Game two would be number 11 Rutgers versus number 14 Minnesota. Game three would be number 10 Ohio State versus number 15 Iowa. Game four would be number 8 Oregon versus us, number 9 Indiana. Game five would be Maryland versus Nebraska Northwestern. Yeah. And then, game four is where we are currently sitting. We are sitting in that 8-9 matchup. Just got to keep fighting. Got to keep fighting for position while we can here and set ourselves up for success. Speaking of setting ourselves up for success, the bubble watch update from CBS Sports. Last four in, Indiana, Arkansas, Wake Forest, Xavier. First four out, Texas, North Carolina, Boise State, Georgia. Next four out, SMU, Cincinnati, Pitt, San Francisco. Georgia being stuck in that first four out makes me nervous. That makes me nervous because I think their resume is good enough and the conference as a whole, the SEC is good enough that they should be in that last four in. But luckily, we are currently at the top position on CBS. Like, so of the last four in, we are the most in. We are the first of the last four in. So fighting for position, we are doing well to gain ground and I just want to see it keep rolling. See this Indiana team keep it going. All right, with that out of the way, it's on to the flaunted and the daunted for you. Kicking off this week's flaunted, we have Big Ten officiating. They've been really on their game as of late. I don't know what it is, but two wins on the week, and I can feel a little forgiving, honestly. Thank you for not ejecting Anthony Leal. Big Ten officiating. Ace Baldwin, honestly, I'm going to put him on flaunted. He scared me enough in that game that I left thoroughly impressed by his talents. Ace Baldwin, flaunted. Honestly, after a loss, still flaunted. Indiana's CJ West, 316 pounds, and just ran a 4.95 40. That's a whole hell of a lot of man hauling ass to a quarterback. CJ West. Terry Morin, sixth consecutive tournament appearance on the horizon. Well done. Congrats. Just incredible that we got her. Indiana men's basketball, the final flaunted for the week. Indiana men's basketball, you put together a 2-0 week. You win the games with the heart that you showed, like, flaunted. Indiana men's basketball, keep it up. We're not worthy. Keep rolling. Keep winning. Let's go. Daunted. Purdue basketball scored less points in Bloomington than Indiana's football team did on Purdue in Bloomington. 66-58, if that was that score. Indiana football to Purdue basketball. If you did the combined scores, that'd be crazy. Daunted Woj. Adrian Wojnarowski holding that auction for himself. The key item in this auction, auctioning off, you know, his knickknacks from his time as being just the go-to breaker of news in NBA basketball. Very conceited to have this auction, if you ask me. But the key item in it is the Paul George trade phone. You know, like the phone that symbolizes and stands for everything that it actually doesn't stand for it at all. But the phone involved in the moment the Pacers fell off for me personally, I decided that, the NBA still has not gotten back into my good graces since those teams. Players only meetings. Daunted. Absolutely daunted. Great to have them if you need them. Great to have them if you need them. But not great to be needing it at the dawn of March. Not great. That's a daunted meeting. And finally, Purdue's football. Yeah, Purdue football. Record 10th straight appearance. Well done. Well done to those gents. Purdue football. On to Burke's Big Five. I got Burke's Big Five Norman Dale quotes in honor of Gene Hackman. Had to go ahead and just go through the list of my top five quotes from that movie. I just watched this movie last week, oddly enough, with my wife. It was her first real sit-down viewing of it. She's seen it in passing, but finally got her to experience the religious experience. That is your first real Hoosiers watch through. Number five, my team's on the floor. Great moment, crazy message to be sent, but he had to send it. He had to say, yeah, I'm playing with four guys because I can't trust the rest of them. Crazy message to send, but glad he sent it. Number four, when speaking to Jimmy Chitwood, you have special talent, a gift. Not the schools, not the townspeople, not the teams, not Mira Fleener's, not mine. It's yours to do with what you choose, because that's what I believe. I can tell you this. I don't care if you play on the team or not. And then he walks away and let Jimmy think. Let's Jimmy think. Let's it soak in how much Jimmy needs basketball more than basketball needs Jimmy. Okay? And Coach Norman had to get that through to him. Number three. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game. In my book, we're going to be winners. Awesome line. I mean, hey, he just wanted the best out of those guys. And it truly took a guy with that kind of mentality to get the best out of them, hence a state title. Number two, 10 feet. I think you'll find that's the exact same measurements as our gym back in at Hickory. I mean, it's the classic scene. Go into Hinkle. What an awe. It's just struck. Every player on that team all struck by the size of Hinkle Fieldhouse. I mean, back in the day, it was just the largest. So, yeah, 10 feet. Doesn't matter where we're playing it. It's still basketball. Awesome message. Number one, you know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments. And I'll be damned if that ain't the truth. Every time I hear that line, you see him lifted up on the arms. Gene, RIP, dude. Most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments. Good God. I mean, play that on repeat before our guys take the floor in March. We need that. These guys have every opportunity in front of them to be gods just for a few moments as the season winds down. With Burke's Big Five out of the way, we are going to get into the Washington preview. Washington and Oregon. Let's go. The Washington Huskies are currently at 13-15 on the season with a 4-13 conference record for the worst record in the conference at this moment. Currently, their last four games, they had a loss at Ohio State, 69-93, a win at Penn State, 75-73, a loss at versus Rutgers, 85-89, and a loss at Iowa, 79-85. They are currently sitting 97 overall on KenPom with an adjusted offensive ranking of 110 and an adjusted defensive ranking of 105. Overall, their statistics right now, they're averaging 72.3 points per game, allowing 74.6 with a 45% field goal percentage, and they are currently on a three-game losing streak. Since joining up with the Cool Kids, like, Washington has struggled to carve out their spot here in the first season of their Big Ten lives. After an optimistic offseason, it's been a mixed bag of reviews for Danny Sprinkle in his first season. They are a program that has been plagued by inconsistency from their role players. And yeah, I get it. Inconsistency plagues all. But the Washington supporting role players are a prime example of that. Currently, Great Osabor is averaging 14.9 points per game and 8.4 rebounds per game. That is Great Osbor, yes, the $2 million man, the man who made waves around the country as his NIL rumored bag was making its round. $2 million. And, yeah, I have to say, just based on, I mean, he does it all for them, but I feel like you could spend $2 million better getting two guys that could do more. But he is currently leading the team in points per game, like I said, 14.9. rebounds, assists, and shooting 47.3% from the field right now. Defensively, he is averaging 1.9 steals a game and half a block. As far as other key players, Zoom Diallo does most of the backcourt production as a 6'4 guard, but he is a non-factor beyond the arc, averaging 0.8 attempts a game, shooting 16.7 from deep. This guy does all his work on the interior. He's going to try to cut, try to get around the corner on our guards. He'll have to be stopped on that initial push. So I've talked on the show before so often in this season earlier, not recently, Indiana has allowed those guards to get that first drive to the basket. And we desperately need to limit his damage in that regard. The other threat in the backcourt is going to be, it's a 6'8 guard. 6'8 guard, Tyler Harris. He is a deep threat for them. 12 points per game, 4.8 rebounds, and 0.3 assists. He is currently shooting 49.8% from the floor and 49.4% from beyond the arc. That 49.4 is good for fifth in college basketball at this moment. And while he is averaging that crazy amount, you would think that he is making more than 1.5 three-pointers a game. You would think that he would have a larger volume of shots, but he just doesn't. I mean, we've had that, I guess Trey that year, he shot like 47%, 47% from three. He is a knockdown shooter when he gets a shot. Here's hoping that we can limit his opportunities for sure. DJ Davis is also a perimeter threat for them. He is averaging 9.1 points per game, but does, from the perimeter, he does what Zoom and Great can't. Zoom and Great are going to be doing the work on the interior. Tyler Harris and DJ Davis are the perimeter threats. Other than those three, their support and bench have shown flashes, as most teams should, but haven't put in anything really substantial together. defensively, Danny Sprinkle plays gritty and tough. Washington does too now. And while their defense is tough and they will put up a fight, their inability to rebound consistently in tandem with the ample turnovers that they commit have been the crux of the reason that they've struggled as much as they have all season. At this point in time, they are not out of the Big Ten tournament yet, but it would take some crazy, crazy events. It would take them winning out, I'd imagine, and any two of Iowa, Minnesota, USC, or Northwestern all losing. Yeah, any two of them losing their remaining games, while Penn State also loses out and doesn't make much of a push. So it is not looking great for their chances to make the Big Ten tournament. It would look a lot better if they somehow beat us here. So here's hoping that we can absolutely keep them out of it. The fan base right now, I like to get a gauge on what the fan base is feeling. And it just seems like they're resigned and rational. I will give Washington fans that. They are rational on this season. They did spend $2 million on that guy, but they did know that this is a first-year coach in a first year in a new conference. It's tough. A new conference is tough. New conference, new coach, that can be even tougher. What am I expecting? I'm expecting the Hoosiers to win, man. I'm always expecting the Hoosiers to win. I'm an idiot like that. I think that the Hoosiers have shown us the best ball that we've seen this year, and they're showing it at the best time. So here's hoping that we can keep it rolling into Washington, and this isn't the trap game that it very well could be. On to Oregon. A much different story than that of the newly inducted Huskies is the newly inducted Oregon Ducks, both football and basketball, actually. Oregon started the non-conference undefeated, but now they find themselves sitting at a 20-8 record with a 9-8 record in conference. Currently on KenPom, they are 34th overall with an adjusted offensive ranking of 34 and an adjusted defensive ranking of 47. In their last four games, they've won out. They've won out versus Northwestern 81-75. They won versus Rutgers 75-57. They won at Iowa 80-78 and at Wisconsin 77-73. Currently, they are averaging 76.6 points per game, allowing 71.8 points per game, and shooting 45.6 from the floor. Like I said, it's a much different story than the Washington Huskies. The Oregon Ducks have entered the Big Ten, and they've carved out a spot. The Big Ten has handed them their only 8 losses. Still impressive wins in the non-con for the Oregon Ducks over Alabama, Texas A&M. And this all helped start their resume just with a huge lead. Currently, they have 9 quad one wins, which is good for second in the nation. And right now, they are probably looking at a 4 or 5 seed. And if you look at the Ducks in their entirety, the Ducks may be one of the most balanced teams in the country. I don't mean like balanced in that they check every box. It's mostly in the way they distribute production. All 5 starters on the Ducks are averaging more than 9 points per game. The Ducks have found a way to stave off scoring droughts that have plagued many a Big Ten program. When you have 5 guys who average more than 9 points per game, somehow you always have an answer for a drought. There are 5 answers on the floor. If the first one doesn't work, try the second. If the second doesn't work, try the third. If the third doesn't work, try the fourth. If the fourth, fifth. They are consistent in their production because they have so many producers. We have to worry about Nate Biddle, okay? He leads the team in both points per game and rebounds with 13.3 and 7.1. While with Shellstad currently shooting 39.4% from deep and guard Keyshawn Barthelemy shooting 42% from deep, they are a problem if Indiana's backcourt doesn't play with the motor that we've seen the glimpses of them in these last 2 games as of late. Extremely well balanced. Altman has them ready to go defensively each game. Other than that Illinois game, I guess they did give up 109 against Illinois. So I talk them up a lot just to say that they aren't without their fair share of letdowns, including losses to Nebraska at home, been there. But worst of all is their loss at Minnesota. They also absolutely got boat raced earlier this season when Illinois scored 109 to Oregon 77 in Eugene. Dana Altman, I gave him credit just a second ago. He has handled the shift into the Big Ten with success. Him and Mick Cronin, both credit to those guys with how they're doing it because they are making the other guys look a lot worse. Oregon looks to be a single-digit seed, and this would be a great win for the Hoosier resume. What am I expecting? I'm expecting the Hoosiers to head out west and take care of business. Show the West Coast how it's played in the basketball state, okay? I want Indiana to go handle business as they desperately need to keep this train rolling. So, yeah, those are my thoughts. On to the Hoosier history hit, and then we'll get you out of here. For your Hoosier history hit, we're just going to take a look at Marvin Wood. You know, the reference for Coach Norman Dale, the actual coach of the Milan team, Marvin Wood. He was inducted into the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame in 1975 from Morristown High School, class of 1946, and Butler University, class of 1950. He was a 4-year player for Morristown, all regional as a freshman. He played 3 years for Butler, where he says he just was very fortunate to be a part of the team. 22-year coaching career was highlighted by fabled 1954 performance by his Milan team that struck a blow for small schools everywhere by beating mighty Muncie Central, made the Final Four the year before. Southeastern Indiana Coach of the Year in 1953 and 1954. He was also named 1974's District 1 Coach of the Year by Indiana Basketball's Coaches Association. He is the past president of Indiana High School Coaches Association. Yeah, I wanted to just give you the information on Marvin Wood, the frame of reference, the inspiration for Coach Norman Dale, the played by the late, great Gene Hackman. Let's get you out of here. Thank you so much for listening to the Often Daunted podcast. Like I said before, some are easier to record than others. Some are harder to record than others. This was an absolute pleasure, and I can't thank you enough for tuning in. If you do like what you saw here, what you listened to here, whatever the case may be, you can find me on YouTube, hit subscribe. On audio podcast, subscribe there, leave a review, leave a comment, whatever. Feel free to reach out to me. Hey, if you have an idea for a Hoosier history hit, reach out to me at oftendaunted@gmail.com or just send me a message through X, Instagram, wherever. You can reach me across all socials at oftendaunted. I'd love your guys' input on the show. Each episode better than the last. That's the motto for the show. That's my mantra. That's what I want this to be. If I'm going to do this as a hobby, I want it to progressively show some signs of progress. If you guys have any idea for the show, please feel free to lend a hand. Reach out to me. I could not appreciate it more. Thank you guys so much. I will be right back here after the Hoosiers head west to take care of business, come home, and continue building that resume. Thank you, guys. Lux et Veritas. God bless you and yours. Down with the Huskies and down with the Ducks. Go Hoosiers.